I'm the music major. With
tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, when your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take, just remember where your help comes from. Realize it's got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do.
Glad in it. We thank God for you tonight during our midweek virtual Bible study. The Bible declares for us to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. He says, meditate on that Word day and night, and you will be like that tree planted, and you will find that good success, as it says in the book of Joshua. So it's nothing like the Word of God that enables us and empowers us, equips us. And it encourages us, exhorts us to do the work of God in the earth realm. And we thank God, amen, as you have called in tonight. If you have your pens and your papers ready, we are going to go through the Bible, the Old and New Testament, and hear what the Lord has to say tonight. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the midweek Bible study in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, speak to me and speak through me as I declare your word on tonight. Our eyes really have not seen, our ears have not heard, it hasn't entered our heart. What you have prepared for those of us who love you. Now, God, minister to your people through your word. We thank you that it will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. Now move during this time together in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree and declare and say amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Pastor Anthony Simmons here. Let's get right into it. There's so much that I want to cover tonight. And tonight we're talking about the grace of God. We're going to speak momentarily about the grace of God, something that is so misunderstood by so many. But as we look at the scripture tonight, hopefully we'll get clarity and better understanding about the grace of God. It is something that God has given us as a gift. The Bible declares that every good and perfect gift is from above. But the grace of God is a wonderful asset to us as believers in the name of Jesus. With that said, go to the book of Romans. I want to lay a foundation before we really get into the meat of what I want to talk about tonight. But we're going to look at kind of build this theme tonight coming from the book of Romans first, Romans chapter number 5. If you read, as Paul writes to the different churches, the church of Rome, the church of Corinth, the church of Philippi, and all the churches that he found, amen, the Colossian church, you'll notice a similar theme of grace, because Paul received that grace from Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting Christians. He was allowing Christians to be put in prison, even to be killed. But the grace of God reached down and saved Paul from himself. So Paul began to write a lot about the grace of Almighty God, because so many people felt as though the law, the Ten Commandments, there was actually like over 600 laws and rules and regulations, but most people just refer to the Ten Commandments, but there was actually over 600 do's and don'ts of the Old Testament that they really had to abide by. But when Jesus came on the scene, he did not do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. He was the only one that led a perfect life, that lived a perfect life, the only one without sin, the only one that kept the Ten Commandments. So Jesus in his deity, amen, showed us that the law could be fulfilled only through God himself. But the rest of us, we need this grace that I'm talking about tonight. Amen. The rest of us have fallen short. The rest of us need the mercy of Almighty God. So Romans chapter number 8, we're going to look at this. I'm sorry, Romans chapter number 5, looking at verse number 1. Paul writes to the church of Rome, and he tries to explain this, and he does explain it so beautifully. I want to look at Romans 5 and 6, because so many people misunderstood this grace, that they'll misadvise you and I and tell us we can do what we want to do. We can sin as much as we want to sin. We can have as much ungodliness we want to have. And that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. And let's see what the Bible says about this grace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In other words, when we go through something, God is working on our patience. And that experience leads us to hoping. And verse 5 says, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will die for one. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8 humbles me every time I read it. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory be to God. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the grace of God. We're not under judgment. We no longer are under condemnation. We no longer have the penalty and the sin and the consequences of sin. Because of the grace of Almighty God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood, has allowed you and I to be restored. Our sins have been atoned for. We have been reconciled to God, and now we are in right standing with God. If you are a Christian, if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he lived, was buried, died, but on the third day, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he rose with all power in his hand. The Bible says we are saved. But as we see right here, Paul writes to the church, and he said, we are justified by faith, and we have access by faith through this grace that I'm talking about tonight.
Yes.
We don't deserve it. We did not earn it. We couldn't merit it. We just got to receive it because it's a gift. It is a gift from God. And it's so misunderstood because Paul writes, let's look at some verses in chapter number 5. He explains it, but the time doesn't permit me to go through the whole thing. But let me just share some thoughts right here from Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Y'all know what he's talking about and referring about here. He says, through one man, he's referring to Adam, sin entered into the world, thereby death by sin entered into the world. When Adam and Eve were tricked by the serpent in the garden, they took of the forbidden fruit. Matter of fact, let's go there very quickly. Let's go there very quickly. Genesis chapter number 3, because the devil has not changed his methods even on us. He has not changed the way he deceived human beings and people. He's using the same strategy that he tricked them in the garden with in Genesis chapter number 3. I just want to see this tonight. It's kind of getting off the lesson a little bit, but let's look at it because the Spirit told me to turn here. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Right there, he misquoting God. But we're not going to get that too detailed into it. That's not what God said. Read Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. She also misquoted what God said. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat also. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? In other words, the devil deceived them. He gave them new information about the characteristic of God. He gave them new thoughts that were not from God. He gave them options that God did not give them. God gave them specific instructions about the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And they ate of the forbidden fruit, and the devil deceived them, and thereby sin into the world. It was a utopia. It was a perfect world before the serpent deceived Adam and Eve. And through the fall in the garden, you and I are now tempted with this thing called sin. But Paul writes to the church of Rome, let's look at chapter 5 in more detail. In verse 12, he said, through one man entered sin. Now let's look at the solution that God had even before the fall of man. Look at verse number 15. We're not going to go there. Look at verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace, somebody say grace. Grace did much more abound. He says, because of the law, because that God had already put statutes in place, you and I were not able to fulfill the law. Because he said, if you don't keep one of these commandments, we fell in every area of keeping the law. Amen. Look at verse 15. I don't want my opinion to be on this Bible study tonight, but I want you to see the word of God. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by the one to condemnation. But the free gift is as many offenses unto justification. He is saying here, because we could not live up to God's standard, what Jesus did allows you and I, through the grace of God, don't forget what we're talking about tonight, through the grace of God, if there is sin in our life, if we are in a sinful world, if we do have ungodliness all around us, he says where sin is, grace is sufficient enough to handle any amount of sin that the world presents to us. That's why when we repent and say, God, forgive us of our sins, guess what? That grace of God kicks in and says, you're forgiven. I feel the Holy Ghost. The grace of Almighty God gives you and I room, gives you and I time, gives you and I mercy and grace to get it right. He writes to the church in Rome in chapter number 1. He said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Paul is not giving you and I a license to sin. Look at chapter number 6, verse number 1. Chapter number 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. He asked a question. He says in chapter number 5, Adam sinned. Sin entered the world. Jesus came to rectify what Adam did and to correct what Adam did. And because of Jesus, you and I now have eternal life. You and I, if we believe the Bible and the Word of God, heaven is our ultimate destination. We have a guaranteed eternal life with Christ and God our Father. No matter what we do, God will not renege on his promise. Once you're saved, always saved, except the sin of blasphemy, meaning somehow the enemy tricked you to become an atheist and no longer to believe in the Son of the living God. That's the unpardonable sin. That's why it's so frightening for those who know the Word, those who have tasted and have heard the Word and believe the Word of God, to go back into that spirit of unbelief. It says it's like going back to the vomit, going back to something you threw up. Because God is not going to pardon that person who once believed and now they don't believe. You got to stay in faith. You got to stay knowing that God is God and he's deity, he's sovereign. But let's get back on point. Romans chapter 6, verse number 2. He says, shall we sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Wow. He says we have power over sin. We have dominion over it. Yes, the enemy may trick us. Yes, our flesh becomes weak, and we may be tempted to satisfy the flesh periodically. Yes, we may be deceived by the devil and tempted by the accuser, the liar, the deceiver. He says, but you and I have power over sin, and sin does not have power over us any longer. Amen, somebody. Are you still in, if you're still in Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Verse 14 says it like this. For sin shall not have dominion over you or me. For you are not under the law, but we are under grace. I feel the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's saying, when people say, I can't help myself, I'm just weak, I'm just vulnerable, I'm just a pitiful, you know, little victim. He said, no, you have the grace to walk away from certain things. You have the grace to put down certain things. You have the ability within you to overcome certain things that the enemy's trying to do to you. That's going to bring you shame, bring you guilt, bring you condemnation. He says you and I have the grace given by Almighty God to say no to certain things. Oh, that brings me comfort. That brings me blessed assurance. I'll never forget my wife and I when we was told by God to put away the alcohol and the liquor, because in both of our families, that curse of, let me just talk about me because I'm on a Bible study tonight. Drug addiction and alcoholism had plagued the Simmons family. I lost two of my siblings early on to alcohol and drug abuse. My father was an alcoholic. Some of my siblings now struggle with alcohol and drug addiction. So this curse have been plaguing my family for decades. And as I indulged, as I started going down that wrong track, I always had the ability within me, through the grace of God, to walk away from it. And I indeed eventually walked away from it all. But there was one time where my brother-in-law, he was in the Navy, and he came home with some sailors, and some of the sailors came home, and they were on leave. And when I was a drinker, one of my favorite beers was Heineken. And they had came to my mother-in-law's house, and they had so much Heineken. They had so many beers. I'd never seen so many Heinekens in my life on one coffee table. And they were just throwing back these Heinekens. And you don't think Brother Man was tempted to pick up a Heineken? Oh, yes, I was. They were having fun. They were laughing. I'm a new believer. I'm newly married. Me and my wife, I stopped drinking on our honeymoon. And them Heinekens were saying, Anthony, Anthony. They were calling my name. But through the grace of God, I had the ability to say no. And I didn't pick up a Heineken that day. And me and my wife still have the testimony today that since our honeymoon, we haven't drank any alcoholic beverages. And I thank God for that, because I believe it's the reason why we're still married 21 years later. Because God gave us, I feel the Holy Ghost, because God gave us grace to say no to the alcohol that destroyed my parents' marriage. It destroyed many of my siblings' marriages, and it tried to destroy my marriage because we argued on our honeymoon because we were drunk. But God said, no, this is not going to destroy this marriage, because I want to use you guys to advance my kingdom in the earth realm. So I say that to say the grace of God was sufficient for us and is sufficient for you. Whatever you're struggling with, that thing is trying to be a stronghold in your life. That thing is trying to be a familiar spirit that's trying to haunt you for the rest of your life. And so many people, they're allowing drugs and alcohol and the things of this world and the cares of this world to destroy the blessings of Almighty God that He has laid out for us. But there are some things that God has given you grace over already. The grace of God is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Let's look at Luke, and we're going to see just how good God's grace is. We're going to look at the prodigal son, and we're going to look at this sinful woman who needed the grace of God because she was judged by her entire city. But God gave her grace. And we know about the prodigal son, but God gave him grace also. These two needed great grace. I don't know about you, but I needed a second chance.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I needed a third chance. Is there anybody like me that needed more than three chances from God? Anybody like me on the line tonight that needed more than four chances? I'm glad we're not playing baseball, because three strikes, I would have been out. I needed the grace of God time and time and time again, because on many occasions I did not get it right. Look at Luke chapter number 7. Look at verse number 36. And let's look at this story unfold. And we're going to talk about the grace of God on tonight. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come into one of the Pharisees' house for dinner. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus had sat at the Pharisee's house for dinner, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which were there bidding him saw it, He spoke within himself and said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this was that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had such and such to pay, he frankly forgave both of their debts. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? There are two people in debt. One had a huge debt, and one had a little debt, but both of their debts by the creditors were forgiven. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave the most. And he said unto him, you have rightly judged. And he turned to this woman and said unto Simon, see this woman? I entered into this house, and they gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and her head. Thou gavest me no kiss when I came in, but this woman has ceased not to stop kissing my feet, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet and my head with the oil that she brought in.
Yes.
Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, hear God, people, her sins, which are many. Wow, this was a sinful woman. Her sins, which are many, Jesus said, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. This was a woman who needed great grace. She was a sinner of sinners in the city, and she needed the grace of God. And she had many sins, but the grace of God can handle it, people of God. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you have done it. God says, my grace is sufficient for you tonight. Glory be to God. We need great grace sometimes. This is why we can never judge people. This is why we never can condemn people. Yes, sometimes our children disappoint us. Yes, we know sometimes they know better, or our spouse know better.
Yes,
yes, we know, even as pastors, some people in our congregations,
yes,
they know right from wrong. But God is saying to you and I tonight, all of y'all need my grace.
Amen. Amen.
From the biggest to the smallest sinner, everyone needs the grace of Almighty God. This is why we got to have grace on people. We got to understand where people are. We must have compassion on those who are not getting it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Help us, God. I thank God that I've been in church for over 20 years. I thank God that I love coming to church, love hearing the preached word. I thank God that people continue to pray for me. I thank God that my family is well and my marriage is well. My kids are in the land of the living. I thank God that his grace have kept me and those that I love. But that ain't everybody's testimony. That's not everybody's story. That's not everybody's, amen, not everybody's circumstance or situation. I'm a blessed man. I got a wife that loves me. I got a church that loves me as their pastor. I have children that love me as their father. It's through the grace of God. I have not always been a good father. I can say that publicly. I used to be embarrassed and ashamed to say that. But there was a time and season in my life where I was doing my own thing. I was not thinking about being a good father or a good husband. I was selfish and self-seated, and I had my own agenda. But the grace of God, the grace of God said, don't worry, he gonna come to himself. He gonna get it right one day. He gonna realize that I have a better plan for him. Jeremiah 29:11, my wife loved to quote that scripture, and I love to believe it when she quoted. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Plans of good and not of evil. I have an expected end for you. And God is saying to us tonight, through my grace, your children will come to themselves. Your spouse, your husband, your wife, they will come to themselves. Your grandchildren and your friends and your relatives and your family members, we can't give up on them because God will never give up on them. Look at Luke chapter number 15. Let's look at the prodigal son. He messed up big time. He needed great grace like this sinful woman. I mean, he messed up royally. Luke chapter number 15. I pray this is blessing you because it's sure enough blessing me. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. And he divided them unto him and his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted all of his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. He was hungry. Let me stop right there. There was a young man who had a rich father who came to his father and said, give me what belongs to me right now. He gave him his portion. He went away rich and wealthy. He spent all that he had on riotous living, ungodly living. And when he spent all that he had and exhausted all of his substance, it went from bad to worse because a famine hit the land that he was partying in and had fun in. There was a drought. There was a famine. He began to be hungry. Verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a certain citizen of that country. and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Help us, God. He sent this man, who probably was a Jew, who had nothing to do with pork or swine, go and feed my pigs. Interact with the animals. That's how low you have gone. And he would have fainted and wanted to fill his belly with the husk of the swine and what they did eat. He was so hungry that he wanted to eat the mess that the pigs had to eat. Verse 17, it had to get that low for him before the grace of God could kick in for him. Verse 17 says it like this. And when he came to himself, wow. I don't know about you, but I've been there and I've done that. The Bible says when he came to himself, verse 17, Luke chapter 15, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat and spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, in my father's house, the servants not only have food, but they got food to spare. And I'm out here acting like I don't have no good sense. But the Bible says when he came to himself, I'm here to tell you, God gave this young man grace. I'm not going to keep reading, but if you keep reading tonight, you'll see. His father, when he saw him afar off, gave him great grace. God gave him great grace. His father gave him great grace because his father said, this is my son who was lost and now is found. This is my son who was blind and now he can see. People of God, we need God's grace. We need grace. And we need to pray for God's grace to come upon other people. Because as you keep reading the story, his brother, who did the right thing and obeyed his father, his brother, who never squandered their father's money, his brother, who was a good son to his father, was mad at this brother, who spent his father's money, who messed up royally. His brother did not want to give his brother grace. And let me just say this, because every time I look at Luke chapter number 15, I can identify with this young man. A lot of people want to put this brother down. A lot of people want to say, why couldn't he give his brother mercy and grace like the father did? A lot of people look at this young man that he was unmerciful. He was unkind. He was mean to his brother. But I, for one, can relate to this dude. I'm sorry. I can. Let me just calm myself down. When Habakkuk writes, Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, he says, God, I'm going to sit upon my watch to see how you handle these sinful folk who sin against you. They sin against your people. It looks like they're getting away with murder. I'm going to sit upon my watch and see how you deal with those who are against you and against your people. I said Habakkuk wrote that in Habakkuk chapter 1, 2, and 3. If you don't believe Habakkuk, look at Jonah. Jonah and Habakkuk can identify with this guy right here. Jonah said, I don't want to say nothing in Nineveh. They killed my family. They sinned against you, God.
Yeah.
But I know you're a merciful God. I know you might give them grace. I know you might forgive them. But, God, it ain't right. I'm living right. I'm obeying you. I'm trying to do this thing. And, God, you're going to give them mercy, not on my watch. So Rebecca and Jonah can identify with this prodigal son brother who don't think his brother deserved the mercy of God and the grace of God. But it doesn't matter what we think. God's grace is for all of us. But I can relate to this young man. Even the prophet Jeremiah. Should I go there, Holy Spirit? Because we're short on time. Yes, go there. Jeremiah chapter 12. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 12. I told you I can relate to this young man. Rebecca, the prophet, can relate to this young man. Let's look at Jeremiah and see if Jeremiah can relate to this young man as well. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 12. It's right after the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter number 12. We don't have a hell or a prison to put nobody in. We can look at ourselves and say we're better than the next man, and somebody can look at us and say they're better than us. We can always look around and see that we're doing things better than somebody else, that we're living right and we're living holy, and we can say we're above reproach. But God says no. He says all have fallen short. All need my grace and my mercy. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 12, verse number 1, because Jeremiah also can relate to this prodigal son brother. Jeremiah writes it like this in the 12th chapter. Righteous art thou, O Lord. When I plead with thee, yet let me talk. Jeremiah is asking God, I know you're righteous, but allow me to have this conversation with you. With thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? He asks God a question. God, why does the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously with you? God, not only are they prospering, but they're happy. They're happy. Verse 2, thou hast planted them. Now he want to blame God. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. He said, not only are they doing you wrong, God, and us wrong, but they're increasing. Yes, they bring forth fruit. They're being productive in their way. Thou art near in their mouth, but far from their hearts. Wow. But thou, listen to what Jeremiah writes. He's writing this. But thou, O Lord, you know it's me. You have seen me. You have tried my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. He's saying, get them, God, and prepare them for the day of judgment and the day of slaughter. Jeremiah is saying, don't have mercy or pity on them. How long shall the land mourn? We'll stop there. Jeremiah was saying, they don't deserve grace. They don't deserve your mercy. Neither do we, people of God. But look at verse 5. Look at God's response to his man, his prophet. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you. How then can you contend with horses? My God. That humbles me. He said, if you're allowing people to get under your skin, people to get to you, if you are allowing people to make you bitter because you think they're getting away with something that you're not getting away with, you're not running even the footmen are wearing you out. He said, I want you to run with horses. I want you to be amongst the elite. I want you to be a leader of leaders. So don't stoop to their level. Don't go that low that you want me, God, to judge people on your level. I'm God. I'll have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. I'll have favor on who I want to have favor on, and I'll give grace on wherever I want to give grace. That's the grace of God, people of God. God is fair and just. I thank God for his grace. He waited for me to come to my senses.
Yeah.
I'm a pastor now. I'm a man of God now. I'm a Christian now. But I became a Christian at age 30. What did I do for the first 30 years of my life? I needed his grace for the first 30 years of my life. I needed grace before I said yes to the Lord. So we can never judge people. Some of you grew up in church. That's not my story. Some of you got saved at an early age. That ain't my testimony. I needed the grace of Almighty God. So I know how to have compassion on people. I know people strung out on drugs and alcohol, and I have compassion on them. I know people who can't get it right sexually or struggling with their sexuality. I have to have compassion because there go I but by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
And I can boldly say it, there go you but by the grace of Almighty God. There go all of us but by the grace of God. I pray that this lesson on the grace of God is helping you to have compassion on this world. When you look at TV, when you hear your music, when you see certain things and you pull up Facebook or you pull up YouTube or you see the young people with anger and fighting at the drop of a hat, you see gang violence and you see domestic violence. You see so much going on in the world, drug abuse and alcohol abuse. We got to know that this world needs the grace of God, people. And we as Christians, we have to be willing and we have to be able to give grace to people in their time of need. I feel the power of God tonight. I pray that this have been helpful tonight to you because our churches need grace. Pastors need the grace of God. People are falling into all kinds of temptations and into all kinds of things that are ungodly. And we all need the grace of Almighty God. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. Just like that woman who was a big-time sinner, the prodigal son who knew better but still didn't do better. We look at the prophets who said, God, I know you're just, I know you're righteous, I know you're going to give them mercy, and I know if they repent, that you're going to forgive them. But we need to be like God and have mercy upon this world and give grace to people in their time of need. People know they can do better. People know they want to do better. But only God can judge people. God says, man judge the outward, but I judge the heart. There are so many good people who get caught up in so many bad things. And they are really good people. But they find themselves doing bad things. So we got to pray for this world. Amen. Join us Sunday at our church service, 12:30 in the afternoon, 12:30 p.m. New Creation Church, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. If you're feeling led by God, please sow into the ministry, $20, $50, $10, any gift, never too small, never too large. We thank God for your faithful giving. We need money to do ministry. And we thank God as you go to the website, nccmonline.org, hit the donate button, and we'll receive your your offerings, or even if you want to tithe into the ministry, we believe that you're sowing into good ground at New Creation Church. Tell somebody about this virtual Bible study. Sometimes people can't get out, but they can call in from their phones right from the comfort of their home and get taught a real good Bible lesson. Amen. So we thank God for you as you called in tonight. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Bring somebody to church with you on Sunday. And Pastor Rebecca and I love you. Good night, everyone. May the peace of the Lord be with you and your family. God bless.